This is the Talk of Fame Network on SB Nation Radio from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's Clark Judge, Rick Goslin, and Ron Borges.
Well, we told you Lennon Fletcher would join us, and you know what? Now he's here. No surprise there. He was one of the most dependable players anywhere. Lennon played 16 NFL seasons, collected more than 2,000 tackles, went to 4 Pro Bowls, and won a Super Bowl, which is why he's among the nominees for the Pro Football Hall of Fame's class of 2019 in his first year of eligibility. He was an undrafted free agent who won a Super Bowl with the Rams, led the NFL in tackles with the Redskins, and sandwiched a 5-year stint at middle linebacker with the Buffalo Bills in between. Lennon Fletcher, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm honored to be on your show.
Well, thank you. And Lennon, before we get started, quick question for you. You live in the Charlotte area, correct?
I do, yep. I live in the Charlotte area.
How did you weather Hurricane Florence, and how bad was it?
Well, for me, I fly up to New York every weekend to do some work for CBS Sports Network on a NFL pregame show called That Other Pregame Show. So I normally fly out on a Saturday, but they had me fly out on a Friday just to make sure I would be able to get to New York. As far as Charlotte is concerned, my family stayed back here, and we got some rain, wind with some issues, but our particular neighborhood didn't suffer too much damage, but there were some parts of Charlotte that some roads were flooded, some areas were flooded. So that was kind of the gist of everything here in Charlotte as it relates to the hurricane. A lot of rain. By the time I came back on Sunday, the rain had pretty much subdued and subsided, rather. And it was from there. It was just really about getting the water to kind of go back down to its normal levels. And I think the emergency crew did a great job with that.
Okay, Lennon, your reaction to seeing your name on the list of the Hall of Fame nominees for the class of 2019?
I was extremely humbled and surprised. I mean, just flattered, honored. It's just the crazy thing is, when it came out, I didn't see it initially, and I was getting congratulation texts and calls from different people. And I was like, whoa, because I knew it was coming, but I just didn't know what date that the list would be put out there, the initial, list. So I got a ton of calls and things like that, and, from people and text messages, emails, and things of that nature. But I was, it really kind of forced me to kind of start to think about, okay, this is the first step of, hopefully what will be me being enshrined into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. From there, it's just, man, like I said, I was just honored by it and definitely appreciative to be on this list.
Two questions. The first one's really a short one. If you do get in, will you show up?
Oh, yeah, I'll be there, man. And I'll tell you what, even – I don't know if the stadium will be able to hold all my family. I'm from the Cleveland area, so between my family, friends, I went to college at John Carroll University.
Oh, right.
That whole, at least half the stadium will be there supporting me. So if you all want a great turnout,
yeah, there you go. Another reason to vote for you. Perfect.
We would definitely be there. I would definitely be there, and man, it would be an awesome time. I tell you that.
You know, at 5'10", Lennon, I'm sure you've been told most of your life that you were too short to play linebacker. Maybe some guys said you were too short to play football. I don't know. But you played, I think it was Division III college football, without a scholarship. And then you went undrafted by the NFL. So forget the Hall of Fame for a second. How much of a struggle was it for you those previous 8 years just to prove that a player of your side deserved even a shot at the NFL?
Well, it was difficult, coming in, having the Division III label and also being an undersized middle linebacker. Those were two strikes that I had against me, trying to, prove that I belonged to the NFL. And it was kind of always a question mark of whether I would be able to play at that level. I can remember when I was named the starter back in during the 1999 season. So ESPN, the magazine, used to put out a like a preseason rankings of all the teams and players, and their scale was like 1 to 5, 5 being the highest. And they gave me like a 2 rating. It's like, if London Fletcher's still starting by Halloween, we'll buy you a car. So I like to read. I've always read sports, the newspapers, ESPN, the magazine, Sports Illustrated. I've always been, from the time I was in elementary, I've always read those types of things. So I put that on my coffee table as a kind of like a motivation, and periodically I look at it. And so fast forward to the postseason that year, of course I started all those games, so that regular season. So then they did a postseason preview, and they said, if London Fletcher doesn't lead the team in tackles, we'll buy you a car. So and they changed my rating to a 4 at that time. So it was kind of like I proved I belong. But you know, those first 8 years, it was like I was always feeling like I was being overlooked. Like, you know, regardless of what I did on that football field, I wasn't getting my true justification or accolades coming my way. I mean, I was like, man, it was some point, sometimes where I was just like, I don't know what else I could do. I mean, I literally was just perplexed. Like, I don't know what else I can do to garner the All-Pros and the Pro Bowls, because, I mean, when you looked at the numbers, the production, the team success, the defense success, it's just like, I don't know what else to do. I really don't know.
Hey, Len, did they buy you a car?
No, they didn't. And the crazy thing is, when we went to the Super Bowl that year, I got a chance to, during the media day, I was like, yeah, you know, I brought up that article. I was like, yeah, I want a Rams blue Mercedes. You know, kind of mentioned that article. You know, just so it was motivation, and I played with a chip on my shoulder for a number of years, just like always, just having to feel like, you know, that Division III label was always over my head, and that undrafted label was all over my head, always kind of hanging over my head. Like, you know, it was always a part of undrafted free agent, you know, just Division III school. Like, you know, it's something to be proud of, but it was also kind of looked at sometimes like people use it as a negative too.
Right, right. Well, let's explain a little bit further about why you played with a chip on your shoulder. You're one of two rookies to make the 98 Rams. You made your first start in that final game of that season. And then, of course, you started and won a Super Bowl, the final game of the 99 season. That's a pretty rapid ascent for an undrafted college free agent. So, simple question here. How'd you win the confidence of Dick Vermeil and his coaching staff and do it so quickly?
You know, the thing about it is, once I got an opportunity, I felt like I was going to run with it. You know, I knew I could play football. It was just about getting an opportunity where in the right situation. And Coach Vermeil was the right coach. He had always given kind of the underdogs a true shot, and he didn't care where you were drafted, things like that, where you played college football at, or whether he was undrafted or anything. And this even dated back to his time as the head coach back at in Philadelphia. So it was the right situation. And from once I got on the football field, you know, I didn't care where the guys were, you know, where I was on the depth chart. I just went about my business every day. And I tried to play as hard as I can. I really, my goal was just to make the practice squad. And, you know, initially, and then as we started playing in the preseason games and things like that. And I can remember we scrimmaged the Colts, and Jackie Slater, he came to me one day, well, during the scrimmage, he's like, man, it's just glaring how fast you are on that football field. And he's like, it's like, you know, just pops out how much faster you are than anybody else on this field. And when Jackie Slater had said it, it was like, man, wow, maybe I can do this. So, you know, just really just each day, kind of just going about my business, put my head down, and made the team as an undrafted rookie, and ended up being the rookie of the year for the Rams. And you know, coach gave me an opportunity as a going into my second year to compete for the starting job, and I won it. And kind of the rest was history, I guess you can say.
Lennon, you put together 9 consecutive seasons of 100 tackles or more before you were finally voted to your first Pro Bowl at the age of 33. You were a Pro Bowl alternate 8 times. In those February trips to Hawaii, we're going to first-round draft picks like Ray Lewis, Jonathan Vilma, Brian Urlacher, and Dan Morgan. So how much of an obstacle was it for an undrafted college free agent to achieve a place among the elite?
Oh, it was a big obstacle. If you the way the Pro Bowl voting goes. It's not a science. It's the way teams go about voting is, you know, some teams are voting for friends. There's not a lot of, it's political in a way. I didn't have any allies in the NFL because nobody else from John Carroll was in the NFL. So I didn't have the first round status. A lot of the coaches, they vote for the name guys. And I just didn't have that name like those guys, because they were the high draft picks. But as far as production, I mean, none of those guys were producing at a higher level than me. So it was definitely a challenge. I mean, I look around and, one of the craziest things was my first year in Washington, we had had a really good season. We played Seattle in the playoffs, and Lofa Tatupa, who was voted to the Pro Bowl over me, after the game, he literally came up to me and said, "London, you deserve to make the Pro Bowl over me." It was like, in my mind, I'm thinking like, yes, I know. I said, thank you. I kind of appreciated that, but it was, he knew he didn't deserve to go ahead of me, but that's kind of how it was.
You started in a Super Bowl victory over the Titans in 2000 and then started in a Super Bowl loss to the Patriots, which has remained controversial for a long time, in 2002. What are your sort of enduring memories of those two games?
Well, the enduring memory, one was definitely better than the other. The 2000 team, obviously we won it, and, that team, man, the 99 Rams, 2000 Super Bowl, just the, it was really, the game was just a culmination of all the things that we had achieved throughout the course of that season, about the journey. Winning the way we won that game, Mike Jones's tackle on the 1 yard line. So that's kind of the enduring memory, I guess. The confetti coming from the ceiling, and seeing all my teammates run on the field. I was on the field at that time, and just seeing all the guys run from our sidelines. That's the kind of the enduring memory from that one. And then as far as the 2002 game, just obviously the painful loss. The enduring memory is, I guess, that started the Tom Brady New England Patriots dynasty, and the Adam Vinatieri field goal that beat us that game. So I guess those are both the enduring memories from both of those games.
Hey, London, quick question here. We've got about 30 seconds left. Who is the bigger name at John Carroll these days, Leonard Fletcher or Don Shula?
Don Shula has several buildings in the stadium named after him. So, his name is definitely bigger. He's giving the university a ton of money.
Well, London, you got a big name with us. You got a big name with us. Thanks so much for the time, and best of luck with your Hall of Fame candidacy.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me.
Thanks, man. Thanks, London.
That was former linebacker London Fletcher, one of 102 candidates for election to Canton in 2019. Up next, it's a 2-minute drill. You're listening to the Talk of Fame Network.